Welcome to the Financial Analysts Journal author interview series. My name is Pat Light, and I'm here today with William Fallon to discuss his recent FAJ article, Asset Allocation Implications of the Global Volatility Premium, which was published in the September-October 2015 issue of the FAJ. Bill, thanks for talking with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
So, Bill, as you know, in this interview series, we talk with our authors about their research. We're going to jump right in with this first question. Can you tell us a little bit about the practical issue or issues that motivated you to begin this research?
Sure. Our research agenda is pragmatic, and it's aimed at helping clients navigate a complex and increasingly challenging investment environment. What we increasingly hear from clients are concerns about expected returns on primary assets like stocks and bonds. In stocks, of course, we see that valuations are rich by historical standards, while in bonds we see yields that are quite low, especially abroad after several iterations of QE. The implication in the eyes of many investors is that future returns broadly may be lower than past returns. In turn, this belief creates significant uncertainty about expected returns on pension plans and endowments, whose strategic asset allocations are often dominated in notional or risk terms by some combination of stocks and bonds. And over time, if these fears are realized, it could jeopardize the funding status of many plans. Hence, clients have challenged us to create and offer additional primary exposures, new building blocks for use in their strategic risk budgeting and portfolio construction. Arguably, this issue is a key one that many real asset investors will face for the foreseeable future.
So what was your approach to solving that problem?
Well, we began by evaluating the wide variety of exposures and strategies that we've researched and implemented over the years, and then we narrowed our focus to that set of strategies which could be made generic and accessible to a reasonable range of sophisticated clients. And soon we settled on a strategy that sells volatility systematically. Our research has shown that over time, selling options, shorting volatility exposures, offers a possibility of significant returns, and it's easy to see why. Consider the reaction of most investors when asked if they'd like to be short an option on one or several markets. Understandably, many would flinch at the idea. Or if they were to agree, it would be only on the condition that they were well paid, significantly above actuarial fair value in exchange for the associated risk of significant losses. And, of course, this is the essence of why selling volatility makes sense. That virtually everyone is averse to such exposures implies that the rents that one can extract are likely sizable. Now, I think it's important to clearly define what we're talking about in the paper, since option-based strategies come in many varieties and can embed a wide range of exposures. As we describe in the paper, our focus is a pan-asset class short gamma strategy. We sell options or variance swaps, then hedge as needed so that the resulting portfolio has only incidental vega or delta exposure. In its purest form, this strategy makes money when realized volatility comes in lower than implied. Of course, this idea isn't new. Selling insurance is in general a very profitable business, and this was thoroughly described in a recent FAJ paper by Antti Ilmanen. But our approach differs in several important respects from earlier efforts. First, we sought to be very comprehensive. Whereas earlier efforts focused on one or perhaps several markets, we used a total of 34 liquid markets drawn from the four major macro asset classes, stocks, bonds, currencies, and commodities. Second, we gathered as much historical data as we could find. Our panel of monthly observations begins in 1995, giving us nearly 20 years of data to work with. Third, we sought to be as realistic as possible and therefore included the effect of transactions costs, which can play a first-order role in options market trading, some of which is over-the-counter. Fourth, in combining returns extracted from these assets and asset classes, we adopted a very simple portfolio construction approach. We scaled only for risk across markets and equally weighted exposures within and among asset classes without sizing adjustments based on any conditional, tactical, or timing signals. We made all of these choices to keep our research as transparent and as accessible as possible. The end result, as described in the paper, is an excess return index that we call the GVCP for the Global Volatility Composite Portfolio. We consider this comparable to the simple benchmark indices provided by many index providers. The characteristics of this index may be unique. Its annualized returns, measured per unit standard deviation, are extremely high, on the order of unity, that is a sharp ratio of 1, which exceeds that of most other major asset classes, including bonds, which of course have had an amazing bull run since 1995. On the flip side of this is the well-known and extremely unattractive tail risk profile of any strategy that sells options. But again, that's why you get paid so well. Well, that characterization was our first major finding in the paper, and we think it's interesting in its own right, but we also addressed what role an exposure like the GVCP might play when added to a typical pension plan or endowment, as proxied for by a couple of hypothetical strategic benchmark portfolios, one that was largely equities, the other largely bonds. This simple analysis illustrated our second major finding, that even a small amount of short volatility exposure, when added to either of these strategic benchmarks, can provide substantial long-term benefits to clients. In the case of an equity-centered strategic benchmark, for example, the benefit from a small allocation to the GVCP of 1% long-term track year was as much as 12% in sharp ratio terms.
And Bill, can you speak a little to how you expect your findings to influence practice in this field?
Well, I guess time will tell if a short gamma strategy like that of the GVCP or something similar becomes common in investment portfolios. We believe that some avant-garde managers have been pursuing such strategies now for a while, but have understandably placed them in some form of alternatives or hedge fund bucket. Though there are hurdles to the widespread embrace of such strategies, there's no free lunch, especially given the significant tail risks over the short term of such a strategy. We hope our paper will stimulate discussion and awareness of such strategies' returns, risks, and trade-offs.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for this and similar strategies. Bill, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up here?
No, I think that about covers everything. So it was a very enjoyable paper to write, and we hope that the FHA readers find it equally enjoyable to read.
Well, thanks for taking the time to share your research and your ideas with us. We encourage all of you listening to read this article and articles from other CFA Institute publications on our website, cfapubs.org. And you can also follow us on Twitter at CFApubs. Thanks for listening, and Bill, thanks for your time.
Copyright 2015 CFA Institute. This program is designed to give accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is distributed with the understanding that CFA Institute is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, tax, investment, or other expert advice. If legal advice or other expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.